Beloved Father in heaven, we again thank Thee that we have this blessed opportunity to come to Thy house and worship with Thee. And we pray that Thy Spirit might be with us, that as we've gathered together here this morning, that we might worship Thee in spirit and in truth. That Thy servant may preach Thy word in power and demonstration of Thy Spirit, and Thy people may have ears to hear and hearts to understand, and that above all it may honor and glorify Thee. We're mindful of those on the prayer list, and we pray that Thy richest blessings might be with each of them. Thou knowest, and we're aware, and are greatly concerned and burdened about the election that we'll have just a short time from now. And we pray, O Lord, that Thy Spirit might be with Thy people, that He might guide Thy people, that He might move this nation to elect the ones that ones in various offices that Thou would have us to elect, and that Thou would receive honor and glory in it. And bless us with God-fearing men, that this nation might be much like she was in the past when she was founded back over 200 years ago. Now, bless, we pray, all for whom is our duty and privilege to pray, and forgive us of our sins. And this we humbly ask in the name of Jesus Christ, and amen.
I invite your attention this morning to the book of Ruth, chapter 2 and verse 3. Again, the book of Ruth, chapter 2 and verse 3. And this verse of Scripture reads, referring to Ruth, by the way, and it says, "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." Alright, now, I want to speak first of all to the people in this particular lesson. And that is, when I say this lesson, I'm not referring just in this verse of Scripture, because one of them is not mentioned here in this verse of Scripture, but that is looking at the overall context of this verse of Scripture. That is, the people in this lesson. First of all, I want to mention that one of them is Naomi, the mother-in-law of Ruth. And her name, by the way, means pleasantness. Her name means pleasantness. The name Naomi means pleasantness. And then, obviously, the next one is Ruth. And her name means friend. The name Ruth means friend. It was interesting to look it up. Sometimes I pay attention to this, and sometimes I don't pay attention to this, but our English word Ruth is translated from a Hebrew name, which is Ruth. Now, that doesn't get real complicated, but that was interesting to see that. Now, but then the third character in this lesson is Boaz. And the word Boaz means that, in fact, it didn't find it here, but I found it elsewhere. The Boaz means in him, or it is strength. And I think we can combine, I don't think any do any damage to the definitions or the text or the passage of Scripture by saying that we can say the name Boaz means in him there is strength. Alright, Ruth dwelt with Naomi, which means again pleasantness, or Ruth dwelt with pleasantness, which is an example for us. And that example could be found in, as we taught in Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 8. Again, the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 8. And this verse of Scripture reads, now these are pleasant qualities here in this passage of Scripture, verse of Scripture, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And it reads, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, these are, I understand, the Word of God is telling us there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, these are pleasant things. Now, as we see Ruth dwelling with her mother-in-law, Naomi, which again means pleasantness, then these are some pleasant qualities that are to be in our lives. We are to dwell with these, or we are to manifest or practice these qualities in our lives. Now, Boaz, I understand, is a type of Jesus Christ. And especially when we think about the name Boaz, what it evidently means, and again, combining those two definitions, we can say it means in him there is strength. Or the name Boaz means in him there is strength. And so Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright, Ruth lived in Bethlehem. And that name is very important also, because the name Bethlehem means house of bread. The word Beth, or Beth in any name, means house of something, whether it's Bethany or whatever it may be. Bethlehem, that Beth means house of something. And Bethlehem means house of bread. Now I remind you, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is the bread of life. And the house of bread is, the house of bread is the church of Jesus Christ. And so much of the bread of life, and much of our feasting on the bread of life is found in worship services where we assemble ourselves together in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't mean to imply, in fact I'm going to mention otherwise, but that we can glean truth in our private devotions. In fact, that is very important. It's very something that we definitely need in our lives. And if we're doing it in our lives, most of us probably need to do more of it in our lives. But I think some of the bread of life, some of the great truths of Jesus Christ that make us happy, make our souls rejoice, is found when we meet together and worship together in spirit and in truth. And one other thing about Ruth is that she died in Bethlehem. She died in Bethlehem. Look, if you will, in Ruth chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. Ruth chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. Now, most of you are familiar with this. This is the one of the most beautiful expressions of love that's found in the Scriptures. It's sung in a hymn that's used in weddings. Whither thou goest, I will go. But it was sent by Ruth to her mother-in-law when her mother-in-law Naomi told her, go back, just stay here in Moab. Let me go to Bethlehem, Judah. Let me go there alone. There's nothing. I don't have anything left for you. So go back and stay here with your homeland. She had another daughter-in-law, Orpah, that really wanted to go with Naomi, but she decided she would turn back. But Ruth was, as my daddy said, bound and determined that she was going to go with Naomi. And then we find these beautiful words. It says again, Ruth 1, verses 16 and 17. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Now, I don't know how someone could make more beautiful words, how that could be translated into modern English, and maybe it could be. I won't say it couldn't be, but I don't think you can find anything more beautiful than the way these two verses of Scripture are worded. That is, the great love that Naomi had for Ruth. Now, notice that expression, if you will. Just let me digress just a moment. Notice that expression, thy God will be my God. What did Ruth know about the God of the Hebrews? Very little. But I tell you what she did know, what she knew, she heard from Naomi. And even more than that, what she knew about God, she not only heard from Naomi, she also saw in the life of this Naomi. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that Naomi was a woman who loved the Lord by what we can find in this book of the Bible, what little we can find about this book of the Bible concerning her. And then that this daughter-in-law would be willing to live, her father and her mother and her other relatives, to go to a land that she knew nothing about other than what little she'd heard Naomi say about that. But she was willing to go. And evidently she died in Bethlehem. Now the lesson for that is, brothers and sisters, that again, Bethlehem, I think, at least to some degree, represents the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, that's where I want to die. I don't know where my church membership will be there, but I want to be as much as possible an active member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be a member of a church, wherever that church may be. I want to be a member of that church that is trying to stand for the great principles that are found in the Word of God. That's where I want to be. And as Ruth said, and there will I be buried. Then she's saying, by that, and I think the lesson for her is this, I want to die as a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those are the background. Something about the people in the lesson and Bethlehem itself. Ruth gleaned in the field of Boaz. And she went there at the beginning of the barley harvest. Look at chapter 1 of Ruth, verse 22. I think all the other verses of Scripture that I'll use is found in Ruth, but except one in the New Testament. Now, Ruth chapter 1, verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Now, something I remember Elder George Daniel telling me a number of years ago was that the first harvest for the people in that day, in that time, was the barley harvest. And then after that was the harvest for the poor people. Then after the barley harvest was the wheat harvest. And that was the harvest for the more well-to-do people. But Ruth was left. But Ruth and Naomi got there at the beginning of the barley harvest. It's good to look at the background that Naomi and her husband Elimelech and their two sons Mahlon and Chilion left Bethlehem, Judah, and went to the land of Moab because there was a drought in the land or in that country around Bethlehem, Judah. And then Naomi heard, after losing her husband and then both of her sons, Naomi heard that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread, blessing them with rain, and they had good harvest again. So they were blessed of the Lord again. So she decided that she would go back. Now think about this. She went to Bethlehem, the house of bread, at the time of the beginning of harvest. That is, as a poor woman. And as a poor woman, she went there at a time that she could glean in the barley field, and then after all that was over, then she would glean there at the wheat field. And so she went there at the very best of times. And she went there, again, that's what was symbolized there at the beginning of the barley harvest. Alright, now, this was her happenstance. Now notice the expression again in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap, or another way of it saying or using that word is, it just so happened. It just so happened. That is, that's the way we find it here in this passage of Scripture. That is, that this was her happenstance. And it's written as if almost if it was something that was done by chance. And I think that maybe the meaning of that is that this is more of a chance. And I'll say get into that in just a moment, the Lord willing. But the fact is that she looked out in the field. It says that she bought a part of the field belonging to Boaz. And I understand evidently there was this huge field, and there was more than one person that had grain out in this field. Maybe a multitude of men had grain out in this field. But she went to a portion of the field that belonged to Boaz. And that was her house. That is, she looked out and she said, well, I think I'll go over here. I don't think, evidently, by what we can gather here in this passage of Scripture, that that she had any eye. She went to there for any particular reason on her arm, part. I'll just simply go to that particular field. Now, but this was her fortune. And what she did with no thought became her fortune, because God was in this by what we can gather here in this passage of Scripture. Now remember again, she went to the field. She was gleaning in the field. Let me say just a word about that. Gleaning in the field meant was that the squeal, whatever that means, the fields had corners. They were either rectangular or square or some shape that had corners. Now, when the reapers reaped, when they gathered the grain, then they were to leave the corners. That was for the poor people. They were to leave the corners there. And then, and when they missed something, they were to leave it. If they went by something just right behind them, and they saw that they missed it, they were supposed to leave there. Because that was for the poor people, that was for widows, that was for strangers, that was for people who didn't have land and didn't have grain or crops of their own. That was for them, because the Lord cared for them, the Lord took care of them. That's what Ruth could do. Ruth could go behind the reapers, and when they missed something, or if they dropped something on the ground and left it there, then she could pick that up. Or she could go to the corners of the field. That's what, by the law, she could do. That's what she could do by gleaning. And yet, brother and sister, she received other blessings because she gleaned in the field of Boaz. And that's what we need to remember. She received other blessings because she gleaned in the field of Boaz. She received handfuls of purpose and gleaned even in the sheaves. Now, before I read that scripture, the sheaves were, years ago, I've been told that they were, before combines as we know them, they had wheat threshers or threshers, whichever the case may be. It's probably a thresher, but regardless of that, they would put things up into shocks. There's a team out in West in Kansas called the Wheat Shockers. They were put in shocks in kind of a pyramid or a teepee type thing so that the rain would fall off of them. And then they would go there and they would put that grain into, they would bring that grain rather to the thresher. Alright. And that's what the sheaves were like. Things that they had bundled together and put up, and then later on they could get them and they could weather them or whatever just exactly they did to get the, separate the seed from the chaff and the other things there. Ruth received handfuls of purpose and also gleaned and picked grain out of the sheaves that had already been put up. And we find that in verses 15 and 16, chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. The idea was that, again, that which has already been put up, let Ruth go and get what she wants there. Then, every once in a while, though you glean before that, you have it in your hand, and it's mine, then since it's mine, put it down in front of her, that she can get that also. That is, she was given more than what the law required. The law required that, as I said, what was left behind, she could get that. The corners, she could go and glean that, but the law didn't say anything about the sheaves. The law didn't say anything about handfuls of purpose, but he said, now, this is mine. Let her have that. Now, the lesson is that, well, she had those handfuls of purpose. Now, we'll get more about that in just a moment. She could drink water. The young men drew. That is, they drew water for themselves and others. Maybe she could drink that. In chapter 2, verse 9. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged thee, charge the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Now, I don't think all the gleaners could do that, but Ruth was given that. And again, this was because she gleaned in the field of Boaz. And then bread and vinegar was given to her, which is in verse 14 of chapter 2. And it reads, and Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reaped her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. That is, the food that was there for the reapers, then she was allowed to go get. And she was there was bread for them there. She was able to take the bread they had and dip it in the vinegar that was for them also. Now, vinegar, I understand, was some type of condiment that was just eaten with bread. Or they ate bread soaked with vinegar. And I understand this, that vinegar was something that helped quench the thirst. And so that was a benefit for her. And so there was food to eat, the bread, and then there was the vinegar which helped her quench her thirst. And then finally, one of the blessings that she received because of gleaning in the field of Boaz is that she married Boaz. Now, there are other things that can be mentioned. That's what I want in this particular lesson this morning. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, like Ruth received blessings because she gleaned in the field of Boaz, there are blessings for us also in the service of God. We are to glean in the Word of God as Ruth did. We're to glean in the Word of God as Ruth did. Now, one of the things that kept coming to my mind as I was trying to study this is that well, what's the use? Here is a woman, Naomi, who is a widow indeed. She doesn't have a husband. She doesn't have sons or sons-in-law. She doesn't have nephews or nephews married to her nieces. She doesn't have those. She is a widow indeed without any visible means of support. No support whatsoever. Now, not only is she that, but she is supported by another woman who evidently is also a widow indeed, which is Ruth. Now, there are two widows indeed. We say, well, all we can go is go out and glean the field. So, what's the use of doing that? Well, the fact was that if they wanted to continue living, that's what they had to do. One of the things I read concerning this was Ruth did some things that were very laborious, and she did it in a very humble way. And thank the Lord for what she did. So she could say, well, what's the use in that? Sometimes we might get the idea, well, what's the use in trying to read the Word of God or glean in the Word of God or be faithful to the Word of God? And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, as we glean in the Word of God by reading the Word of God and meditating from time to time, then when certain things get our attention or certain passages of Scripture get our attention, when we do that, there's food for us there. Our bodies need food, and Ruth did all she could to make sure that there was food for herself and for Naomi. She did that. Well, there's also our souls also need food. And the food for our souls is found in the Word of God. And we find it a little at a time, just as Ruth went out. As she gleaned in the field, she found this stalk that was there. She was able to pull that or break that one off. She found something that the reapers dropped. She was able to pick that up. She was able to go to the corners of the field. She was able to do that. But that was a supply their livelihood. God made it that way. And I want to tell you, anything that God has for us in His Word, then it will work for us. And God made it in that particular way. But we find it, brothers and sisters, like Ruth, a little at a time. We don't open the Scriptures and then know it all of a sudden. But we find it just a little bit at a time. But listen, brothers and sisters, like Ruth, when we glean, we are blessed with handfuls of purpose. And that is, God has special blessing for us from time to time. I can tell you by my own experience, I don't say this by the way to boast, but in my own experience, I try to read the Bible through every year. Try to read it through every year. I've got a certain calendar written in my another Bible of mine that I use for that. I said, okay, on January 1st, I start in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, and finish the last verse on the last day of the year, the last verse in Malachi, and the last verse in Revelation chapter 22. I finish that up during the year, and I'm pretty much I'm caught up right now. But the fact is, I've read things that I've read, no telling How many times have all of a sudden the Lord shows himself and I hear something different in my word? I understand, brothers and sisters, that's handfuls of purpose that God has for us. I was talking to a brother down at Cedar Creek not all that long ago, and he called that a wow moment. That is, when you study this subject to the point you think, well, I know what that's all about. And I can tell you a story about that. I can think of one particular subject that I thought about. And most of you know who know Elder George Daniel know that he's a man very knowledgeable in the Scriptures. He said two or three words and made me realize that I didn't know just exactly as much as I thought I knew. But the fact is that God gives us from time to time handfuls of purpose. We read certain passages of Scripture, and the Lord opens up something that He's never done before. That's a handful of purpose. We study certain subjects, and all of a sudden the Lord blesses us to see something in that subject that we've never seen before. That, my brothers and sisters, is also a handful of purpose. And so when we're gleaned in the Scriptures, just simply read the Word of God. I don't mean to say that we're going to be loaded down every day. In fact, God doesn't do it that way. God blesses us generally with a little bit of time, and what we know, we can build on that, and He blesses us with more and more knowledge of the Word and the truth of God. God has special blessing for us, and we're blessed also with the blessings of the labors of others. Listen, I've been able to hear my brethren in the ministry either preach the Word of God or to be able to discuss the Scriptures, the various subjects that are found in the Scriptures within, and I've been blessed to know more about the Word of God by them. And not only my brethren in the ministry, but lay people also that have studied certain passages of Scripture, maybe a little more than I have, or certain subjects maybe a little more than I have, and I've been blessed with their knowledge of the Word of God. That is the handfuls of purpose that God has for all of us that are found in the Word of God. Listen, brothers and sisters, God will bless our labors. God will bless our labors. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, the first portion of that verse of Scripture reads this. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. It reads, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. And brothers and sisters, there's no doubt in my mind that what Ruth was doing and gleaning in the field of Boaz was a labor of love. It was a necessity, but part of it was a labor of love. If it was only for her, it could be said, well, that was just simply a necessity. But when it was partly also for Naomi, we could say that was also a labor of love. Not only a necessity, but also a labor of love. And when we glean in the Word of God, that is, read and study and meditate on the Word of God, then that's a labor of love, and God will not forget that or any other work or labor of love that we do. And so God help us remember that. We have the idea, well, what's the use? We need to remember Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. God will not do that. And because He will not forget our labor of love, God will show us truth. Now, one other thing, and that is that Ruth was not to glean in another field. Boaz told her, don't glean in another field. I thought about that, and I thought about, well, some people use that expression, don't go over there, you know, he won't take care of it. Come over here and buy it from me. And, you know, that's commercials or free enterprise or whatever. But he told her, don't go in another field. Why? But Boaz would take care of him. Now remember, Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boaz would take care of her better than others. I doubt any others would let her, would tell his servants to put down handfuls of purpose for her. I doubt any other owner of a field would say, let her go to what you've already bundled, the sheaves that is, and let her get what she wants there. I doubt any others would tell them, you come eat our bread and you dip it in our vinegar. I doubt any others would tell them, come and get water that these servants of mine have drawn. I don't think many others would do. But Boaz would, and so he told her that don't go into another field. Now listen, brother and sister, the lesson for that is, again, that we are to glean in the Word of God. Now, I know to every one of us, to me and to you and every one of us, I'll tell myself a little bit. That is that sometimes I'd be Friday evening, Saturday evening, or sometime watching television and said a certain movie's going to come on, the Superstation. That's when it was a little different back in those days, but a certain movie's going to come on, and I thought, yeah, I want to watch that. And then when's it going to come on? 10 o'clock Sunday morning. Well, I obviously forget that. Or 11 o'clock Sunday morning. Obviously, forget that. That's just simply not going to happen. Well, you know, there are things that please all of us, that get our attention, that draw our attention. And listen, it seems to be good. And we need to remember that our best leaning, our best food, our greatest blessings are found in the Word of God. And we are to glean, brothers and sisters, in the Word of God. And this is where our blessings are to be found. That is, this is where our spiritual food is to be found, and that is in the Word of God. And one other thing that we need to remember. Ruth married Boaz. Ruth married the man who owned that field. Ruth married this wealthy man. I think Ruth, in many ways, is a type of us as the Lord's people. And Boaz, again, I'll remind you, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a marriage that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the union that each of us have is individuals. And I know the church is called the Bride of Christ. I know that. But there's a union each of us have as individuals to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a sense that we are married too, as individuals to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we glean in the Word of God, listen, brother, we have fellowship with the one whom we're a part of. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God help us, brothers and sisters, to glean in the Word of God, to read the Word of God. And then when things get our attention, meditate on that and study that and see what the Lord has for us there. We'll always remember that we will be blessed in our labor of love and that God has handfuls of purpose for us. And may God help us to be faithful in His service is my prayer for Christ's sake.